to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Morning, City View. How you guys doing? Man, why do you guys sit on the wings so much? I'm just going to let you know, as a speaker, wings and then nothing here, that's just a little weird. Not going to lie, just tell you guys. Hey, good morning. You guys, I just want to tell you, last week, Easter, it was one of our biggest Sunday. It was our biggest Sunday we've ever had. We had 496 people. It was amazing. We had over 20 decisions for Jesus, which is amazing. That deserves even a louder clap right there. Over 20 decisions. That's just amazing to see lives changed. I mean, there are some stories, if you could just hear them, of people who, I mean, they were so far from God, yet you can never be too far because God is always so close. And that is just awesome. And so we're continuing our series of life hacks. I'm not sharing this morning. A good friend of mine, when we were putting this series together back in, December of last year or November, life hacks, we're going over different things. I had just heard one of my best friends share a message on anxiety. And he's one of the pastors at Calvary Phoenix here in the Valley. And I heard him share this message about anxiety and how God got him through it and how God taught him so much about anxiety and how God wants to help us. And I was like, man, I want him to share that someday. And as we were putting this message together, I called him immediately and said, hey, you're sharing April 28th next year. I texted him. I said, dude, I need you. You're sharing this message because it was just so encouraging for me. So, you guys, if we would please welcome up my good friend, Pastor Bill Davenport.
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys? Anybody have any anxiety today? You know what? When I was getting ready to teach this lesson, I don't know if you guys ever heard this, you end up having whatever you're about to teach on. I haven't had anxiety in my life in probably a good 3-4 months, and the last 2 days have been the worst. So this is going to be a great lesson. I know if you've experienced anxiety, God has something cool to say. First off, I'd like to say thank you so much for having me this morning. Yes. I love this setup. If I were you guys, I'd be sleeping right now. So if you sleep, I will not blame you. I'll totally understand. These are so comfortable, these seats. Jeremiah's been a friend of mine for a little bit now. So let's say 17 years I've known Jeremiah, and he's such a blessing to me. I'm in ministry today because of Jeremiah. He's always been one of those guys that has encouraged me to follow God's calling in my life. And so you have a great pastor. I would like to give you something. Yes. There you go. That was good. That says a lot, doesn't it? I like interaction during my lessons. So I like to hear your guys's. If you think something's funny, I guess if it's not funny, you can also boo. Oh, see, I can hear that. Good. I was wondering if I could actually hear you guys out there. So I kind of feed off the crowd, if that makes any sense. So this is an interesting setup, but I love it because I can see everybody perfectly. With that said, I'd like to give you a little bit of history on Jeremiah and I. About 18 years ago, I met my wife at a Baptist Bible college in Minnesota, and through some different things that had happened, we ended up coming out to Phoenix, and we decided to get married, and we were looking for a new church, and we ended up going to Calvary Phoenix, where Jeremiah was a pastor there. And so at this Baptist Bible college, it was really strict Baptist, so you were dressed in a suit every day. And I had an idea on what a pastor should look like. And I remember we ended up joining the church. And then they said, where would you like to serve? And so I said, we'd like to serve in a youth group. And Jeremiah was the youth pastor at the time. Now, this is a long time ago. And so I had an idea what a pastor should look like. And Jeremiah was brought into an office that we were in. We were sitting there, and they said, here's the youth pastor. He's coming on in. And I had a picture of what he looked like, and it's going to go up on the screen right here. Is that good? Should he bring that back? maybe he'll bring it back. We'll see how it goes. And so that's the first time I met him. That's what he looked like. And I remember thinking, this guy looks like Carrot Top. And shortly after that, we joined his youth group. We were leaders in there. I got in a motorcycle accident a few weeks after starting to go there. And during that time, I had taken some time off. But the very next day after getting in this accident, I was at home. And we get a knock on our door. And it was Jeremiah. And I didn't even know him. I didn't know him, know anything about him. Just started going to the church. And, you know, he called me every single day for the next, like, 3 months after that and checked on me to make sure that I was doing okay. Isn't that rare? Do you have anybody in your life that checks on you every single day? That's really turned into 17 years, and we literally talk almost every single day, and he's such a blessing. So I just want to kind of share a little bit of background with us. But today we are talking about anxiety. Anxiety is one of those words that you just don't throw out there, right, unless you're going through it. It's not a happy word. It a lot of times brings a lot of memories back that are just not great memories. Well, I would like to start with a story this morning, and we'll jump right into it. David Page was a guy who experienced some extreme anxiety a few years ago, and this is what happened. For 4 hours, he held the cylinder waiting for rescue or an imminent death. After digging up what looked like an unexploded World War I bomb, David Page held onto it, afraid that letting go would detonate the device. While holding the bomb, the terrified 40-year-old from England called an emergency operator on his cell phone. He even used the call to issue his last words for his family. The woman police operator kept saying, "It would be okay," said Paige. But I kept telling her, "You're not the one holding on to the bomb." First responders rushed to the workyard in eastern England, and an army bomb disposal expert finally arrived. But the drama came to an abrupt end when the bomb was identified. It was a part of a hydraulic suspension system from a popular European car. There are times in our lives where we find ourselves frozen with irrational or unreasonable fear. We know from 1 John 4:4 as Christians that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But we tend to forget the strength that God has given us, and we hold on tightly to our fear. Let's open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into this. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, some practical application from your word to help us with one of the worst things that can affect us in this life, and that's anxiety. Lord, just speak to us clearly. We ask all this in your name. Amen. When I say the word anxiety, I'm sure in the back of your mind, you can think of a time where you've experienced anxiety, right? Let me tell you what anxiety is if you don't clearly know what that is, based off of the dictionary. It says it's a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Have you ever experienced anxiety in your life? Or have you ever experienced symptoms of an anxiety attack? They have the ability to overwhelm us at times, to say the least. Now, I'm sure you guys have seen those commercials about a new medication. Have you guys seen those? Don't they seem like they're on the TV even more and more each day? And don't they always show you some really happy family playing in a park and everybody's happy and everything's great? And then they have to go and ruin the whole thing at the end when there's a guy that comes on and he reads super fast all the things that can happen to you if you take their medication. Not the not good things, right? The things, and sometimes they'll even say death, you know? And you're like, well, that does not seem like a very good medication, but I'll go ahead and take it. So with that said, there are a lot of side effects or symptoms to anxiety. And so today, just to humor you, I am going to read a list of all of the side effects of anxiety. Are you guys ready for this? Is anybody feeling stressed yet? You are. You're like, will you please stop saying anxiety? Where's that medication? Okay, so I want to give you something to do as I read this. Okay, so I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it as fast as I can, like it's in the commercial. And I want you guys to bust out your fingers and start counting. And if you're not ashamed, you start counting these side effects, the ones that you've actually experienced in your life, okay? And if you're not, if you're real with people next to you, you'll hold your hands up in the air so they can see how stressed out you are. And if you're ashamed, you can put them down, you know, and do it on the side. But I know you need your fingers like I do, probably, right? If not, you can count them in your mind. Either way, at the end, we'll have a contest. We're not going to have a contest. That'd be horrible. That'd be the worst one ever. So here we go. You guys ready? Symptoms of an anxiety attack can include a feeling of overwhelming fear, feeling you're going crazy or losing control, feeling you are in grave danger, feeling you might pass out, a surge of doom and gloom, an urgency to escape, dizziness, heart palpitations, trembling, sweating, shortness of breath, chest pressure and pain, turning pale, feeling detached from reality, weak in the knees, burning skin, pins and needles, hot and cold flushes, numbness, and a tingling sensation. Anybody have any of those? I like that. I can see some people throwing them up right now. Oh, man. Some people have their feet in the air, too. Get this. There's more. Are you ready? The anxiety attack symptoms I just read can be accompanied also by choking sensation, tightening throat. It feels like your throat is closing. Confusion, depersonalization, feeling detached from reality or separate from normal emotion, derealization, feeling unreal in a dreamlike state, dizziness, lightheadedness, unsteadiness, emotional distress, emotional upset, inability to calm yourself down, knots in your stomach, tight stomach, nausea, panicky feeling, pounding, racing heart, butterflies in stomach, sudden urge to go to the restroom, unsettled stomach, or feel like crying. Who had some of those on your way to church with the kids this morning? So, yeah, okay. If you're not ashamed, hold up how many you got. I like this. This is great. Oh, wow. Your whole church is super stressed out, Jeremiah. I think we need to bust out into a therapy session right now. Well, you're in luck because God has something cool to say about anxiety and how to battle it. It is pretty funny, some of these side effects, but if you're ever experiencing them, they're really no laughing matter, are they? It's really rough when you're going through. So as you can see, there are many physical, psychological, and emotional signs and symptoms of anxiety. We can laugh at these, but when you experience them, they are horrible. I would like to give you just a little disclaimer on the side real quick, and it goes like this. For some of us, anxiety is not about simply trusting in God more. It might be more of a physical condition that a healthcare professional might be able to help diagnose and treat. I think this is important to say this because if you are stricken with this day in and day out, getting some help for it is the best treatment, no doubt. On the other hand, today's lesson is geared towards anxiety that you might experience in certain life events or trials. Kind of a trial type of anxiety when you're going through something hard. But there have been many times in my life where I've experienced anxiety. The first one was years ago when I went off to Bible college. I ended up going from Arizona. I was born and raised here in the desert, and then I decided that I was going to go to Bible college in Minnesota. My parents looked at me, for a guy that I think had only seen snow maybe two times in my whole life, they looked at me and said I was crazy, and they were completely right, because I ended up going second semester in Minnesota, which would put me there in January. And I remember my mom went to JCPenney's. Yeah, JCPenney's, and got me, I know, why are you laughing, JCPenney's, and she got me Long Johns. And right, it's Arizona, and she got me these Long Johns. She goes, you're going to need these. And I said, I'm never going to wear these, Mom. This is ridiculous. I will never get married. And she goes, no, you put them under your clothes. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm never going to wear them. I got there, and every day I wore them, every single day. And so I got there, and I remember my first month of being there, about a month in, I ended up getting a call from my best friend, who was my dad, and he told me that he had cancer. And I can remember spending every last penny I had even to get to Bible college. I had no money. I had no car because I sold my car to get there. And I literally just couldn't fly back whenever I wanted. And my dad called me up and he said it like this, total dad fashion. He said, look, I got cancer. We got to figure out what to do with your mom. And I just remember not knowing what was going on, but I felt like my world was coming to an end. It felt like everything was closing in, and I felt completely powerless during that time. I want to say that, praise God, my dad lived through that, and he is still alive today and healthy. Yes. The second time that I've really experienced anxiety, extreme anxiety, was about a year and a half into working in the ministry. See, I'd worked for a bank for 10 years, and I'd had a career with them, and it was good. It supplied for our family, and it was what I knew. And, you know, I knew banking down to the T, and I loved it. It was great, but I wanted to be in God's ministry so bad. And when that opportunity came about a year and a half in, I would just all of a sudden wake up in the middle of the night. And, of course, it's pitch black in the room, and I can't breathe. And I sit up trying to get a breath, and I'm thinking, what is going on with me? And it was that switch in a career and thinking, did I make the right decision for my family? Did I make a mistake? And I remember everything just came crashing in so quickly. Have you ever personally experienced anxiety? You know, maybe you're struggling at work and the load is too much. Or maybe you just need work in general and the bills are piling up. Part of one of the things that I do at Calvary is I take people's calls when they need help from the church. And they'll call in, and the stories that I hear about what people go through make anything that I'm going through seem like next to nothing. It is sad to hear the things that people go through. And so during those times, I get to share God with them and pray with them. And people go through extreme anxiety when those bills are piling up and the work's not there. Maybe you're dealing with a medical issue and you can't seem to find the answers or the right doctors to give you those answers. Maybe when your spouse responds in a way that seems unusual, or they become distant from you, anxiety can set in pretty strong. Maybe you or someone close to you is dealing with addiction. Addiction is riddling our society. If you've ever experienced it in your own life, the anxiety that comes with that day in and day out is just unbelievable. Maybe you're stressed about the uncertainties of the future. A lot of things to be fearful of these days, and fear of failure can be a big one of those as well. You know, a recent study actually said that 50% of you guys in this room had extreme anxiety the second that we asked you to stand and greet somebody next to you. Anybody in here want to be honest about that? I'm raising my hand right here. Yeah? Okay, good. So much that the anxiety that you would get if you thought your life was coming to an end. That's the truth. Isn't that unbelievable? So next time somebody doesn't give you quite a big smile and you go to shake their hand, just pray for them, okay? You just stop there, put your hand out, and say, I'm praying for you. Well, this morning I can tell you that you are not alone when it comes to anxiety. Every one of us has already or will experience some level of anxiety in our life. But Jesus does not want you to live with anxiety. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus does not want you to live with anxiety. John 14:27 tells us that. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. What a great verse. Isn't that a great verse? And why that verse is even better is because Jesus spoke those words, and he spoke them on the worst night of his life. This was the night before he was crucified. For him to be able to say that, it has to mean a whole lot to us today. You see, as Paul, also in the Bible, was a man who could have easily been gripped with anxiety, and no one would have ever blamed him. Please turn in your Bibles, if you have Bible, or on your app, you can turn to the book of Philippians, and we're going to be in chapter 4 this morning. So Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 6. In today's passage, we will see that Paul, a little bit of background, what's going on here. Paul is under house arrest by a government that is building a case against him to eventually kill him. Talk about a stressful environment to be living in. He, more than anyone, dealt with anxiety, and he gave us a plan to battle this terrible disease. If you're there in your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, let's start there. We'll read a few verses. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have heard, learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." See, there is a theme in these verses that is revealed in three words: anxious, prayer, and peace. Anxiousness is the problem that we are told to get rid of. Prayer is the plan of action we are told to practice. And peace is the result that we are promised. We will be anxious at times in this life. We definitely know that. If you've been alive for very long, if you have very much responsibility in this life, you've experienced this anxiousness. But this morning we will uncover a plan of action to help fight anxiety when it comes. The first step in battling anxiety is we can battle anxiety by remembering God's goodness. Let me say that one more time. We can battle anxiety by remembering God's goodness. Let's think about this. When you are in the midst of anxiety and you have all of those feelings coming in, what are we saying or what are we believing when we are in the midst of that anxiety? We are saying something, especially as Christians, that we don't even believe. Often anxiety is saying to God that you can't take care of me and my future and the problems I am facing. Or that you don't want to, or you are choosing not to. Even though none of us would ever say that, and we honestly don't believe that, we're declaring that in the midst of our anxiety. But God has promised us time and time again in his word and through our past experiences that he is faithful and will take care of us. Amen? You know that if you've been in anxious times, your world seems like it's coming to an end. But once you get past that, you can look back and all of a sudden see how God was the one that held you together. So when we're in the midst of those anxious times, a lot of times it would be best if we had a prayer that was written down. I'm going to give you an idea what that would sound like. Next time that anxiety creeps in your life and it seemed overwhelmed, pray a prayer like this. God, I know that you have always taken care of me and that you will right now in this situation. It's a boldness that we can have as Christians, even in the face of anxiety. I have a prayer that's written down in my Bible that goes just like that. And whenever I have extreme anxiety that will come in, I will bust that out. And it literally says, when anxious. And I'll read that verse, and I'll read it over, or that prayer over and over and over again. Because my thoughts are a mess at that moment, but God is still in control. The second thing that we can do to help battle this anxiety is we can pray with thankfulness about every trial. You see, Paul tells us in verse 6 that to experience God's peace instead of anxiety, pray with thanksgiving about every concern. And you're thinking to yourself, thanksgiving in the midst of anxiety? Are you kidding me? This makes no sense. What are you talking about here? And I'll agree that when you are anxious, you are probably in a situation that gives you some cause for anxiety. Most of the time, we can break it down and figure out what's causing that anxiety in our life. Sometimes we might not be able to, but most of the time we can. And in these times, thankfulness is rarely an automatic response. But however, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can call to mind things to be thankful for. Let me share you with you an experience where this happened in my wife Emily and I's life. About a year and a half ago, we went out to California on one of those quick little family trips, going away for like 3 days to get back to do a bunch of stuff. So we wanted to get away and just try to relax. And so we used Airbnb for the first time. You guys ever use them? You can get some nice places on there. And we ended up getting a little house that was behind somebody's really gigantic, expensive home. A little casita, and we were staying really close to Anaheim. And we were planning to go to Knott's Berry Farm the next day. And so we get this little house. We check in. We get into it. It was so nice. The whole place was new, nice neighborhood. Everything was great. We get in the house, and about 20 minutes after we got in there, Emily said, Kale, why don't you go take a shower and get ready, and we'll just relax tonight before we go to the park tomorrow. And so Kale goes in there, takes a shower, comes back out, and then Kale says, Dad, let's go watch a movie. And so we end up going out to the living room, turning on the TV, and him and I sit back and we're relaxing. And all of a sudden, the loudest scream and crash that I have ever heard. I didn't know if it was coming from the TV or where it was coming from, but it didn't go with the movie. So I instantly jumped up, and I thought to myself, Emily's in the back of the house. So I ran as fast as I could to the bathroom that she was in. And when I opened the door, it was a horror scene. What had happened was there was two doors to the bathroom, and she had come from the master into the bathroom. And when she did, she shut the door. And when she shut the door, the glass door on the shower across the bathroom fell off its hinges, hit the tile, and it exploded into thousands of pieces of glass that all went flying at Emily. And when I ran in there, she was covered in blood. I know this sounds horrible, but I'll make sense of it in a second. She was covered in blood, and then she had went to go grab the door to let me in. And when she did, there's blood all over the wall and on the handle. And I walk in, and she's pale white. And I go, what in the world had happened? So I picked her up because I was wearing my shoes, thankfully. And I walked her across the glass and put her on the bed. And in that moment, we had some anxiety, right? Some extreme anxiety. She was talking, so I knew she was okay. And instantly, we started looking her over and figuring out all this little blood that she had all over. I mean, she has to be really hurt. But all it was tiny little cuts that had happened because of safety glass doing its job, which was a good thing. And she ended up being okay. And these little cuts, quickly, we cleaned her up. She ended up being okay. And in that moment that I set her down on that bed, I remember the anxiety. And then all of a sudden, we look at each other, and we said, praise God it wasn't Kale, our son, that it had that happen. Because if he had been in there, Emily, what she did was she put her hands over her face, because literally the glass came flying up at her face. And it protected her face. My son wouldn't have thought to do that. Then when she stood still, so she didn't move around. And he would have probably ran across the glass and probably would have cut his feet up. And as you're sitting there, you're thinking, God took care of me in the midst of this craziness. Isn't that amazing? When everything seems out of control, in a little bit you'll be able to look back and see how God took care of you. She ended up being okay. It even got better than that. We called Airbnb. Imagine the homeowner when we made that call to him. We said, hey, you need to get here. My wife just got cut up by a glass in your house. He was 20 minutes away, and he was driving as fast as he could to get there. He was Asian, and he barely spoke English. All I know is when he walked in that door, he was having a panic attack. And then he walked into the bathroom and saw the blood on the in the bathroom and didn't see Emily. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I ended up having to calm him down. Airbnb put us up in a really nice hotel a few miles away. We were even closer to the park, and they paid for everything. Not the way to get a free room, I'll tell you that. But it ended up all working out really good. It really did. We can see how God would take care of us in the midst of all that anxiousness and all that horrible stuff. God still held us together. Amen. Transitional. Well, let me just say this. Now let's talk about what we are saying to God when we choose to pray with thankfulness in the midst of anxiety. Not just what we're saying when we have it. Basically, remember how he supplied in the past. You see, when we give thanksgiving to God in the midst of what's going on, we're remembering how he supplied for us in the past. You think back over his faithfulness to you and realize that he has always been with you and he's never abandoned you. You know what's interesting is somebody that doesn't know Christ, I've had people that have literally just accepted Christ, and when they did, they come up and they said, you know what? I'm thinking about now how my whole life up to this point, not knowing God, somehow he's taking care of me even when I didn't know him. And they start remembering their whole past and how it's completely different in light of God's grace and protection in their life. The second thing that it says when you give thanksgiving in the midst of anxiety is you surrender to his power in the present. You're saying, God, I don't know what I'm going through, but I know for a fact that you're going to take care of me. The third thing that it says when you practice thankfulness in anxiety is that you trust him to supply in the future. You see, a thankful heart rests upon the all-sufficient God, knowing that even though we do not see how he is going to take care of us, he will meet our needs as we trust him. So how can we live like this? Let's call to mind all the times that he has not let you down. The third and final step is that we can rest knowing that he has promised us peace. Because in verse 6 of Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Imagine if we battled anxiety by reflecting on his goodness. Or imagine if we prayed with thankfulness about every trial. Imagine if we would rest knowing that he has promised us peace. Imagine the peace that God could give you in these moments of anxiety if you would just practice these steps. Let's pray and ask God that he will remind us about these steps next time the disease of anxiousness comes flooding in. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we thank you for how, Lord, because of you, we have a hope in the midst of the craziness of anxiety. Lord, I pray that next time that anyone in this room, Lord, and anybody that's listening online, Lord, they experience the anxiousness that comes in just living this life. Lord, I pray that they will remember the things that you've done in the past, that they'll give you praise for that in the midst of that anxiety with boldness, knowing that you're the God that takes care of them in this. You always have. And Lord, I pray that they'll give it to you and praise you for how you're going to take care of them right now. And Lord, how you have their future all taken care of. Lord, we give anxiousness to you. Lord, we know that you will have the victory. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.